In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. When talking about the Trinity, what are some tips and advice you can give to us to help us better understand the Trinity? One of the description of God that we say it in the Divine Liturgy, incomprehensible. Incomprehensible means it is very difficult, almost impossible for our limited mind to comprehend God. But in general, theology is not done by speculation. Theology is revelation. God reveals something and we believe in it. As the Lord said to Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but Heavenly Father. So God revealed himself to us as Trinity, Triune God, three in one. That's how he revealed himself to us in Old Testament and in New Testament. That's why we believe that God is Trinity. Trinity, there is no one analogy that can actually describe God 100%. But if we put some analogies together, maybe we can try to understand what Trinity looks like. So when we speak about three in one, the best analogy is like the sun and the light and the fire. These are three distinct things. Fire is not the light, or the heat is not the light, and the heat and the light is not the sun, but they are one. It's impossible to have the sun without the light and without the heat. This gives you example how three in one. But the essence of the light is different than the essence of the heat, different than the essence of the sun. But when we speak about the Trinity, the all one essence. That's why this description makes us understand what does it mean to be three in one. But the weakness in this analogy is the essence, because the essence of the heat different from the light, different from the sun. Saint Athanasius gave another analogy to give us the idea of the essence. He said, if you have spring of water, and from this spring of water, water flows and make river. Here it's the same essence. The river is not the spring, but the river comes from the spring, and they are one. The fathers tried to give different analogies, but there is no one analogy that will explain the Trinity. In the Trinity, there are attributes that are common to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But there are attributes that are very unique to the Father and unique to the Son and unique to the Holy Spirit. The Father, the unique attribute for him is the paternity. He is the Father from whom the Son is born and the Holy Spirit proceeds. I cannot say the Son is a Father or the Holy Spirit is a Father. Fatherhood in the Son. What's unique about the Son? The filiation. He is begotten from the Father. He is begotten from the Father. And what's unique about the Holy Spirit is expression. He proceeds from the Father. So this attributes very unique. The fatherhood in the Father, the filiation in the Son, and the expression in the Holy Spirit. How do you differentiate between what it is a bonus opinion or the Holy Spirit? In the Gospel of John, Hananiah was an ungodly person, and he condemned the Lord Jesus Christ to death. He said in the Gospel of John, it's better that one person dies and not the whole nation perish. Saint John, when he wrote his Gospel, he made a comment about this verse or this saying of the high priest. He said he did not say this from himself, but because he was the high priest, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the life of the world. Why I'm saying this? This man was ungodly, but since he is the high priest, the Holy Spirit spoke on his mouth. He prophesied about the death of Christ for the life of the world. I'm not saying that our abonas are ungodly. I'm not saying this. But I'm saying, even in the scripture, we have evidence that this ungodly high priest, the Holy Spirit spoke on his mouth, regardless of his ungodliness, he spoke on his mouth. So when you go to Abuna in confession and you ask him and he guide you, listen to him and don't let Satan cast a doubt in your heart whether these words are from God, from the Holy Spirit, or from Abuna. I'm speaking about spiritual matters. I will tell you what I mean. Because one of the things that Satan is doing, he make you doubt your spiritual father. Once he start make you doubting your spiritual father, you will not listen to him. Then you will listen to Satan, and Satan will destroy your life. Those who are obedient to their spiritual fathers, they are growing spiritually in the right way. And those who doubt their spiritual fathers, they struggle in their spiritual life. I said I'm speaking about spiritual matters, because confession is about your spiritual life. But when it comes, Abuna, should I go to this college or this college, or should I choose this career or this career, or I should get married or choose monasticism? Here Abuna is shedding light to you, to help you to make the right decision. But at the end, it is your choice. It's your decision. Abuna just give you an advice. And Abuna should not ever make a decision for you. You know what? I want you to be an accountant or a lawyer or a medical doctor. No. Abuna should just help you to make your decision. Like, he should not tell you what career you choose, what person you choose to marry, what college you should go. He helps you only. In these things, it's your decision, 100%. But in spiritual life, you need to listen to your spiritual father. And every word he tells you in the sacrament of the confession, it is from the Holy Spirit. Why don't Muslims believe in resurrection when the Quran instructed them to believe in everything mentioned in the Bible? Many times the problem is the interpretation of the verses. For example, when I speak about Muslims, let's speak, for example, with all my respect, about Protestant. Read John chapter 6. John chapter 6 speaks very, very clearly about the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Real body and real blood. And they believe the scripture. And they love the scripture. And they memorize the scripture. But they provide personal interpretation, not the divine interpretation, for these verses. In the same way, people, when they read Quran or read, no. So they provide personal interpretation
to the verses they are reading. When you fast, are you supposed to feel the growth? What can one do if they cannot feel any growth or any difference in their life?
You will not feel the growth instantly. For example, after you eat, you don't feel that you are growing. But if you compare yourself today with 1 year ago or 5 years ago, then you can see you are growing. At the same time, you will not feel the growth instantly. But when you compare yourself like from the beginning of the Great Fast or after the Great Fast, you should feel some differences in your life. For example, we are here in a monastery. Many sometimes brothers or monks come to me and say, I feel I'm not growing. So I ask him, since the time you entered the monastery and right now, are you the same or different? He said, no, different. In many, many areas, or then you are growing. You will not feel the growth immediately, instantly. But you should be growing. If you see yourself today and 5 years ago, then you should see growth. If there is no growth, then there is a spiritual obstacle here hindering your growth. You need to discuss it with your spiritual father to see what is it and how you overcome it.
How do I get myself to a point where I want to fast and I am not feeling like I am forced to fast?
The Lord Jesus Christ said the kingdom of God is taken by force. And this is the narrow gate. This is the difficult way. You need to force yourself, not somebody else forcing you, but you need to push yourself and force yourself to fast, because this is the right thing to do. We need to do what is right, not what's convenient. For example, it is convenient not to go to school and not to study. It's convenient. But is this the right thing? No, it's not the right thing. It's convenient not to work. But is it the right thing? If people choose not to go to work, they cannot survive. We need to do what's right. And this is part of disciplining our flesh and bring it into subjection. Here, why you are forcing yourself to fast? Why you are pushing yourself to fast? Because you know the benefit of fasting. It is for your own benefit. Why people, when they are sick, they force themselves to do surgery or to take medicine? Or people suffering from cancer, they do chemotherapy, although it's very painful. Why they go through all of this? Because there is healing at the end. And I know there is a spiritual healing, spiritual enlightenment. So if I am convinced with the benefit of fasting, it will be easy for me to, if you want to use the word force, to force myself to fast.
What is a story you can think of from the Desert Fathers that's beneficial for fasting or that helped you?
Do you know this picture at the end? The last picture on the northern wall? Do you know this icon about? Ambarsanius. Do you know the story? Ambarsanius, when they start to eat together, he was picking and choose the good beans and leaving the bad beans to his brothers. And because he was wealthy, he was the teacher of the emperor's children. So the abbot was embarrassed to confront him. He said to one of the monks, when you eat, I want you to pick the best beans like Abba Arsenius, then I will slap you and I tell you this is wrong. So here you can see how the abbot is slapping the monk across from Saint Arsenius, because he's picking and choosing the best beans. And Abbot Arsenius in blue, putting his hand, his palm on his face and said, "Oh, this slap is for you, Arseni." He knew that the abbot was embarrassed to confront him, so he did it to the other monk, but he deserved this. And he said, "I am expert in language and in literature, but I don't know how to eat the bean properly, like the monks." So that's a story about fasting. Fasting, again, it's not about picking and choosing. Fasting is simplicity. Fasting is to discipline your body and to bring it into subjection. What does begotten mean? Begotten means born, but not physical birth. When you speak about the son is begotten from the father, like when the light is begotten from the sun. Here, begotten means this come from that, not the opposite. Yeah, the sun, S-U-N, sun did not come from the light, but the light comes from the sun. In the same way, the son, S-O-N, is born from the father for all ages, not the opposite. Like how the light comes from the sun. That's why we say in the creed, begotten, not created. The son is not created, he's begotten. True God of true God. Like light comes from the sun. I have a sin that's eating me. I really need to repent, but every time I do and confess, I fall back into it. I really want to overcome it this fast. What do I do? I'm glad that you are determined through the grace of God to overcome this sin. And through the grace of God, you'll be able to overcome it. Number one, you need actually to rely on the grace of God. Every morning, you need to ask the grace of God to help you to overcome this sin. Number two, all the day, you need to fight the good fight. Don't yield into temptation. Be strong. Run away from every temptation. Run away from every temptation. Every night, examine yourself and see if you were able to overcome the temptation, what helped you? And following day, focus on what helped you. If out of weakness you fall in sin, see what are the reasons. And then try to avoid this reason the following day. If every morning you ask it for grace, all the day you are fighting the good fight, at the night examining yourself and trying the following day would be better than the previous day, through the grace of God, you will overcome it. Of course, there are more exercises that can help you. I have a sermon on, you can find it on SoundCloud. It is called The Beloved Sin. Some sins are dear to us. We don't want to give it up. And some sins are addictive, habitual. And usually fighting against the sin that we love and the sins that are habits is more challenging. So in this sermon, I give many practical points to help you how to overcome these sins. You can find it if you search The Beloved Sin, Abba Yusuf. Or I can send it to the Father, and the Father can share it with you. It's on SoundCloud. It's very easy to find it. Yeah.
How to get rid of bad thoughts quickly? Distracting them. The Father spoke about distracting the thoughts. Don't dwell on the thought. When you are attacked with a bad thought, try to distract doing something else. Even go and talk to somebody, not about the soul, just talk to about him with somebody about anything else. You can pray, you can read a book, you can watch something that distracts your mind from the thought. You need to find what helps you to distract the thought. The thought is like a magnet pulling you in this direction. You need to find a stronger magnet to pull you in the opposite direction. That's distracting your thoughts. How can I help a family member to hate a sin that they enjoy doing? Pray for them. Talk to them directly if they are willing to listen. If they are not willing to listen, then you can talk to them indirectly. For example, you can share indirectly a story from the life of the saints, a verse from the scripture, a sermon that you heard it, just share it with them. So indirectly, you can share with them some messages to help them to hate sin. And number three, do not enable them. What do I mean by do not enable them? In the story of the prodigal son, if the father sent some money to his son and some food, the son would not return at all. But when he stopped sending him money and sending him food, and the son started to feel the need, he returned back to his house. Sometimes we enable people. When we enable them, we empower them to continue in their sinful life. That's why we should not enable the people. How do we discipline the flesh, whether in fasting or in general? How do we force ourselves to do things that aren't easy? Through the grace of God, I can do all things in Jesus Christ who strengthens me. If you do it by yourself, you will fail. But every morning you need to ask for the grace of God to be with you, to empower you, to discipline your flesh. Flesh is like a horse. If you don't tame this horse and control it, he will actually hurt you. But if you put the horse under the control, then it will serve you. If we put the flesh under control, the flesh will serve the spirit. And you cannot do this except by the grace of God. And exercise. It's not from day one you will be able to discipline your flesh 100%. It is a journey, lifelong journey. But you need to work on it. How to discipline your flesh and bring it into subjection. And through the grace of God, when you do these exercises, you will actually grow spiritually. How do we get rid of the distraction of the world? You need actually to make a conscious decision to stay away from distraction. And many people actually, they found themselves, they are distracted by the social media. So they closed all their social media. One of the major distractions in our life are social media. Especially we don't know how to use it properly. Then if this is a distraction from you, you need to stay away. We need to have this strong determination, serious determination. If something actually is hindering my spiritual growth, I will stay away from it. The fathers, the martyrs, they shed their blood. I'm not asking you to shed your blood. But I'm asking you to stay away from any distraction that actually hinder your spiritual growth. How do you fear God? When you feel His presence. If we don't feel the presence of God, then we will not be able to fear Him. If you don't feel His presence, just remind yourself with the presence of God. If I'm telling you this meeting is recorded audio and video and
live streamed. You will be careful about any word you are saying, because this word, the whole world will watch it and see it. It's recorded. In the same way, when you bring to your mind that God is watching over you, then you will walk in His presence. St. Paul, in one of his letters, said, I want you not to obey me in my presence, but in my absence more than my presence. Just the presence of St. Paul among the community make everybody be watchful and careful. Then when St. Paul leaves, they do whatever they want to do. In the same way, when we feel the presence of God among us, when we know God is here watching over us, then we will walk in the fear of God. But we forget this. We forget that God is present with us all the time. What if I do not want to repent and confess of a certain sin because I am afraid of the responsibility that comes with my repentance if it is true? This question is like, I have a cancer, but I don't want to go to the doctor because I'm afraid he will tell me that you need surgery and you need chemotherapy. So I choose not to go to the doctor. Okay, you will die. Is this what you want? You need to be wise even to take the responsibility. But this actually will heal if you don't take the treatment, and if you don't take the responsibility, and if you don't repent and confess your sins, then actually you will die spiritually. Is this what you want? Is this wise to choose to die spiritually? No. And God is a good physician. God wants to help you. God wants to set you free. So don't be afraid. You are coming to a tender-hearted, a kind, loving Father who cares about you, who loves you, who will not condemn you, who will not judge you. He said to the woman that was caught in sin, I will not judge you. The judge of the whole world, he told her, I will not judge you. So don't be afraid. God wants you to return back to Him, to heal you and to help you. Please read the book Life of Repentance and Purity by His Holiness Pope Shenouda. Please read this book. Take this book as your spiritual reading during the time of fasting. Life of Repentance and Purity. How do I make myself constantly grow spiritually and never have a fall back? How you grow physically? You exercise, you eat healthy food, you rest and take enough sleep. That's how you grow healthy. In the same way, when you nourish your spirit, discipline your body, follow spiritual exercises, then you will be growing spiritually. Do aliens exist from a Christian perspective? There is nothing in the scripture about the existence of aliens. We don't know whether they exist or not. The Bible did not tell us anything about it. And until now, there is no scientific evidence 100% about the existence of aliens. What do you do when you cannot pay attention in prayer? I think this because of distraction. That's why when you pray in your inner room, try to pray with a soft voice. Even if you memorize the prayer, hold the Agbaya and read it. So when you look with your eye, when you speak with your voice, when you hear it with your ear, and when your body participates with your spirit, for example, we worship you, O Christ, with your good Father and the Holy Spirit, or I beat my chest, or I lift up my hands, or I bow to you, or I kneel. When you do all these things, it will help you to pay attention in prayer. Why are lustful thoughts bad? It's stealing. You lust after things you don't own, and it will defile your mind, and defile your heart, and defile your spirit. The Lord spoke about lust as adultery. He said, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you committed adultery in your heart. How do you manage your spiritual canon with your super busy schedule? How do you have better time management? Just do better time management. All of us, we waste a big portion of our time. You need to keep the balance between what is important and what's urgent. When you speak about important and urgent, you will have four choices. Some tasks are both important and urgent. Tasks are important and not urgent. Tasks are urgent and not important. And tasks are non-important and non-urgent. All of us, we agree that number one priority, important and urgent. And number four priority is non-important, non-urgent. Most of us don't agree what comes number two, urgent and not important, or important or not urgent. What do you think? Number two should be important, not urgent, or urgent, not important? Urgent, not important? Important, not urgent? Colloquium of in? If you agree important, not urgent, number two, raise your hand, can I? If you agree urgent, not important, number two, raise your hand. I see the majority. If it is not important, then the sense of urgency is a false sense of urgency because it is not important. But as you see here, and most of you raised your hand for urgent and not important. And this is what wastes our time. For example, you are praying in the church and attending the Divine Liturgy. Divine Liturgy is important. Then, while you are praying, your phone sends you a notification, there is a text message. With this text message, you feel it's urgent to check it. But is it important? It's not important. But most of us, we check the phone and see the text message and read it and reply to it. Then we distract it to come to focus back in prayer. You cannot. Because you give priority to what seems urgent but not important. Right? We waste a lot of time. If actually you are careful in time management, then you will be able, even you are super busy, to keep between your work or your study and your spiritual canon, etc. The Lord, in the feeding the multitude, told them, collected the fragments. So there is fragments of time, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here, 15 minutes here. If you collect this fragment and pray a psalm here, the creed here, Holy God, Holy Mighty here, actually you will be able to be a life of prayer all the time. Somebody is asking about stories from my time with His Holiness Pope Shenouda. Most of you, if you don't deal with Sayyidina Baba Shenouda on a personal level, you saw His Holiness with the reverence of His Holiness. But when you deal with him, you can see the real fatherhood, the compassion, the kindness, the love, the care. One time I was even, I was not even a monk. I was a youth spending some time in Ambab Shoy Monastery as a youth, like you spending time right now. And I was walking in the desert by myself, and I found His Holiness in front of me, that he was also taking a walk. So I went, I greeted him,
And يعني, I had a sister who had a surgery at that time. So just I asked him to pray for her. So he asked me for her name, which meant a lot to me. He's not just saying Rabbana ma'ahum khalas. The fact he asked for her name means he will take this name and we pray for her. And just when he asked me what's her name, this touched me very much. Yani, I felt a father cares about his children. And when I asked him to pray, it's not just going to tell me, God be with her and that's it. No, he's taking the name and will pray. This is a very small story because of the time, but there are many, many, many beautiful memories with His Holiness Pope Shenouda. May his prayers be with all of us. What is the right perspective on creation 7,000 years ago or millions, billions? Many conflicting opinion on this. Okay. How you calculate the day, 24 hours? It is the movement of the earth around itself and the movement of the earth around the sun, right? The sun was created when? On the fourth day. Then the 6 days of creation, definitely not 24 days, because the sun was created on the fourth day. Every day can be billions and billions and billions of years. And we are still living in the seventh day. The seventh day will end by the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the eternal life will be the eighth day of creation. So the 6 days of creation are just 6 days, every day is 24 hours. No, it's not. How to stop judging people like the thoughts that just come in our mind? Or how do we stop that from happening? Turn the thought into prayer. When a thought comes to your mind, see what he is doing, pray for this person and pray for yourself. This is the best antidote for judging. To turn the thought of judging. If I tell you somebody has heart attack, what are you going to do? You're going to call the ambulance for him, right? In the same way, if you see your brother sinning, you need to call the ambulance for him. You need to pray for him. Last question. What is the best channel of charity that Your Eminence recommend to give to the poor versus church expenses and services? Okay. You need to do both. Actually, we need to help the poor. That's very, very important. But also we need to contribute toward the church expenses, because the church, the utilities, the construction, the mortgage, all these expenses, who will pay it? If all of us, we give 100% of our donations to the poor, then the church that's serving us, who actually will take care of it? So we need to be wise. Yes, we definitely, we need to give the poor, ولكن also we need to be responsible for the churches that are serving us and taking care of us. I don't support any organization that work independent of the church. But I support organizations that are under the umbrella of the church. So there are many organizations work under direct supervision of the church. Like here in the Southern Diocese, we have HOPE, Help Other People Excel. In the Diocese of Los Angeles, you have St. Verena Charity. In New Jersey, there is Bless UA. It is under the bishopric of the social services served by Bishop Julius under the supervision of Pope Tawadros. And I'm sure in all the dioceses in Pennsylvania, New York, in Detroit, in Kentucky, in Virginia, in all the dioceses, every diocese have a charitable organization. And I recommend highly to donate to the poor through this charitable organization. I don't recommend, I don't support at all. I know there are many organizations working, but not under the direct supervision of the church. I don't support all these organizations because I don't believe that if we are one body and one, the church is one body, I don't understand why some organization help not under the church. Yeah, I don't understand this. We are one body. And so all of us, we need to be serving together. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.